Okay, we will now call the meeting to order. We have a quorum. And so the first item is the approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on June 1st, 2023.
I move.
I'll second. Okay, all in favor? We've approved it. No opposition, the motion carries. And Kathy, go over the agenda items.
Thank you, Harry. So today we have Ellen presenting our debt and investment report, and then Mary Hom will be presenting our credit and internal audit reports, as well as she will have the fourth quarter audit plan for your approval. And then Mary John will be presenting our independent auditor RFP results and approval of an independent auditor for the next 4 years.
Okay, thank you. So the first item is the debt report, Ellen.
Okay, thank you. The corporation's debt report is as of August 31st, 2023. The last debt report presented to audit committee was as of April 30th, 2023. During this time, the corporation issued three series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $642.7 million and remarketed one series of $53 million open resolution bonds. In addition, the corporation issued two series of bonds in the housing impact resolution in the amount of $320.3 million. There are bond redemptions in three series of open resolution bonds in the amount of about $202 million and one standalone series in the amount of $8.3 million. So there is a new footnote in the debt report on the interest rate hedge page that indicates that the SOFR-based rates that have been used as of July 1st, 2023, to calculate our swap payments. The LIBOR rates are no longer published as of June 30th, 2023. That's due to the sunset of LIBOR that was established several years ago. Just want to point that out. The corporation's debt outstanding as of August 31st, 2023 is approximately $15.6 billion. The corporation's statutory debt capacity stands at $18 billion. And we currently have sitting on the governor's desk for signature is an increase of our debt capacity to $19 billion. That's not been signed yet. Any questions?
I assume we don't expect any surprises.
I don't think so. We think it's going to take time.
Okay. Any comments?
No questions.
Okay. So next item, Ellen, is the investment report.
And the corporation's investment report is as of September 5th, 2023. Funds under management totaled approximately $5.7 billion, and this report reflects routine investment activity. Any questions? Yes.
Is there any, no quote? Sorry. Any questions?
No, no questions.
Okay. Thank you, Ellen. Mary, the credit risk is the next item.
Thank you. So the report before you is dated as of August 31st, 2023, and the previous report to the audit committee was dated April 30th, 2023. Back in August, Moody's announced negative rating actions on a number of U.S. banks, citing macro concerns affecting the entire U.S. banking sector. With respect to our counterparties, Moody's downgraded Webster Bank to A2 from A1, citing the bank's lower capital and liquidity levels, increased reliance on market-sensitive funding, and high concentration of commercial real estate exposure. Other affected banks on our counterparty list were Bank of New York and U.S. Bank, which were both placed on negative watch list. Also in August, while we don't monitor Fitch ratings, I will note that Fitch downgraded the U.S. government to AA+ from AAA. And in its action, Fitch noted the rising level of general government debt, expected fiscal deterioration in the next three years, and erosion of governance, particularly on the fiscal and debt matters relative to its similarly rated peers. This action brings Fitch's rating in line with S&P's AA+ rating on the U.S., and Moody's continues to rate the U.S. at AAA. There were no new approved counterparties. HTC's counterparty exposure remains diversified, with the largest exposures continuing to be with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Wells Fargo. The Wells Fargo exposure is primarily in the form of construction letters of credit covering 26 projects. Investments rated AA or higher were 51% of total investments versus 56% at the last report, while investments rated BBB or not rated were 36% of total investments versus 31% at the last report, and these investments are fully collateralized by high-quality U.S. Treasury or agency securities and or Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. HDC exposure to liquidity providers was unchanged at approximately $542 million. Back in June, HDC entered into two interest rate swaps, one with Bank of New York for $80 million and one with PNC Bank for $50 million. That concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Just a question regarding the banks that were downgraded.
Mm-hmm.
Do our auditors require any special watch on?
Well, the only bank that was downgraded was Webster,
uh-huh.
And that was that's a deposit along the money market account.
That we do have a Federal Home Loan Bank letter of credit on that. So
it's collateralized.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other?
Any rumors today if the government gets down or they
I don't know the crystal ball, but
further induction in the government, the U.S. government range?
I haven't seen any comments.
Okay.
There were some comments that, one of the banks and Moody's indicated that it probably would not be good if they shut down.
Yeah.
And the city's been planning, as it regularly does when this happens, around the instant impacts that could happen, some of which are primarily like rental assistance and that sort of thing. So in the housing world, there are preparations at HPD that are happening. We don't have as much impact here immediately, but there are people who are bracing for the chaos of it. It's not good. Yeah, as you know, I don't need to tell you, it's not good. It's not never a good thing.
Yeah. The city doesn't like bridge or advance, right? They just have to wait it out, like for rental subsidies.
You have to figure out, and I don't know if Elizabeth, you've been a little bit closer to it, but you have to figure out how you're going to, in some cases, potentially triage, or it depends how long it goes on.
But both HPD and NYCHA have enough reserves for rental assistance that it shouldn't be an issue unless this drags on for a very long time. The last one was 35 days, and both HPD and NYCHA were fine in terms of their operations and rental assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And they're similarly positioned now. So it's not good, but as Eric said, the immediate impact should be okay.
Okay.
Okay. Let's keep my fingers crossed. Internal audit report.
Thank you. Since the last report to the audit committee on June 1st, three internal audit projects were completed: succession planning, electronic funds transfers, and accounts payable. Starting with succession planning, as you know, succession planning is an important tool for ensuring that organizations maintain regular operational levels and continue to meet high performance standards. By having a formal, effective succession plan across all departments, HDC can proceed with minimal disruption in the event of the employee's departure. While HDC has had informal succession plans in place, management recognizes the need to formalize succession plans to ensure that capable individuals are identified and prepared to assume key responsibilities should a vacancy arise. Here, our objective was to assist the corporation with formalizing an effective succession plan across all departments. Internal audit began this project by examining departmental organizational charts, job descriptions, and employee tenure data provided by HDC's Human Resources Department. Internal audit then developed a template to help guide department heads with formalizing their succession plans. After careful thought and review, department heads completed these templates and formalized their respective succession plans. Internal audit reviewed these plans and determined that key roles have been identified and strategies are in place to ensure that capable individuals are prepared or will be prepared, either through additional training or hiring plans, to assume key responsibilities should a vacancy arise. Internal audit gathered the completed templates from all HDC departments and assembled into a formal succession plan for the corporation. Internal audit intends to perform an annual review of succession planning going forward, in conjunction with the annual review of business continuity plans. Our second completed project was the electronic fund transfers or EFT review. As you know, EFT has increasingly become a target for scammers seeking to illegally divert funds. A request from HDC's cash management department to examine best practices in EFT prompted the internal audit department to research and review. Here, our objective was to research and report back to the HDC cash management team best practices around EFT. Internal audit reviewed the last audit report for EFT that was conducted in 2019. At that time, internal audit determined that HDC had effective controls around EFT activity. Internal audit further researched industry best practices around EFT and communicated this information to the cash management team. As cash management has always been proactive around EFT security, they noted that they will retain the best practices document and that many of the industry best practices have been long-standing practices at HDC. Our third completed project was an assurance audit on the accounts payable function. We'll note that this audit was not originally on the audit plan for the third quarter, but we did have some downtime between audits, so we picked up this project. Here, our objectives were to determine whether there are adequate accounts payable policies and procedures to ensure that the selected check and wire disbursements were made in compliance with accounts payable policies and procedures, and to determine whether process payments were properly recorded in the general ledger. Upon completion of this audit, we noted no matters involving internal controls that we considered material weaknesses. And that concludes my internal audit report.
Just a question regarding electronic transfers, mm-hmm. whether there have been incidences?
There have not been any instances where we have been scammed, if that's the question.
Yeah. Oh, pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there have been, we've seen like fraudulent requests come in, mm-hmm. mainly through our management companies.
But you're able to catch it and,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've strengthened our wire policy mm-hmm. that, yeah, we have standing wire instructions for most things, but when they're new, we're looking for a verbal mm-hmm. On an office phone. Mm-hmm. And we instituted that as an extra precaution.
Okay. I would say just we've had incidents that have heightened our concern. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. We've seen it's one of those things where you think you're at a level where you understand exactly what's happening and somebody takes it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And so we've put ourselves into a mode of a little bit of, I won't call it hypervigilant, but extra vigilance, that realizing that this is going to be an evolving thing and trying to pay attention to what might come next when you think you've seen it all. Because I'm guessing you've probably seen some of the same stuff. And I'll be honest, like we've been vigilant, but we've also, I think most people would admit to this, you're vigilant, but occasionally you can get lucky or unlucky.
We've got lucky.
But
that's scary, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, what I am concerned about is we have, you know, the level of security protocols in place and the training and all of that. But our partners don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that neither are they insured.
Yep.
And a lot of what we see coming through emanates from there. So that's a weakness overall.
And not just uninsured, but often with a smaller balance sheet that really can't take
they the can't hit. Take the hit. So that's right.
Bigger partner.
That's yep. That's yes.
And that's where we've seen our issues coming through some of our partners.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
are smaller, not as secure.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because even when you think it might not be your problem, it's still your problem.
That's why I try to tell our folk that it's still our problem because. Yep. Because it is, especially if we have like money that's been leased for, say, some construction or something and it disappears. It's all of our problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With the progress of AI, it's not going to get any better. Right?
No, it's not going to get any worse.
Yeah.
Be harder.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Now we can discuss the fourth quarter audit report.
I'm pleased to present for the members' approval an internal audit plan for the fourth quarter of 2023. The proposed projects for the fourth quarter include 3 assurance audits, continuous monitoring of the investment portfolio, and performance of the annual corporate-wide risk assessment. If there are no questions, the members of the audit committee are requested to approve the fourth quarter 2023 audit plan.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so move. And now the auditor proposals for the HDC's annual financial audit.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. So HDC's finance department recently solicited a request for proposal for the performance of the corporation's annual financial audit by an independent auditor. The engagement will cover four fiscal years, starting with fiscal year 2023, and cover the period November 1, 2022 through October 31st, 2026. We solicited bids from the Big Four accounting firms of Ernst & Young, Deloitte, KPMG, and PwC. Additionally, we solicited bids from three mid-sized firms, CBIZ, Max Planet, Grant Thornton, and BDO. Only two firms responded with a bid for services, Ernst & Young and CBIZ, Max Planet. After interviewing the two firms and discussions among staff, we are recommending that the contract be awarded to Ernst & Young. This decision was based on three major issues: fees, technology, and MWBE. Although on the face of it, Max Planet annual fee proposal was lower than EY, including the single audit fees, the allotted hours to perform the audit was 1/3 of the amount of hours proposed by Ernst & Young. Staff believe that given the complexity of the corporation's bond financings and the size of the corporation's balance sheet, the hours that Max Planet allocated to the audit were not sufficient. It has been our experience that the number of hours quoted is insufficient, and there is a risk that the quality of the audit could be compromised. When the hours proposed by the two firms are compared on a pro rata basis, the annual fees proposed by Ernst & Young are actually lower than Max Planet. Based on the interviews with both firms and our experience with EY's client portal, it is the opinion of staff that EY's technology is more advanced than Max Planet. EY's digital platform has enabled the corporation to upload that data to a secured portal, which allows for greater transparency and communication with the audit team. We have also noticed an increase in data analytics over the past couple of years. Lastly, the RFP required MBEWBE participation in the audit. Max Planet referenced the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Program, but currently they don't subcontract out to minority firms. EY has long partnered with the largest minority-controlled MWBE firm in the United States and fully engages the firm throughout all aspects of the audit. An additional factor taken into consideration was the experience with housing finance agencies. EY's client list currently includes New York State Housing Finance Agency and prior experience with Connecticut, Florida, and New Jersey Housing. They also have been the auditors for the New York City Economic Development Corporation for over 20 years. EY's presentation for retaining them as our auditors was the most compelling of the two firms. So our experience working with EY has been positive by all accounts. Throughout the years, EY has gained solid understanding of HDCs and is familiar with our audit process. This leads to efficiencies not only with the auditing staff of EY, but also with HDC staff as well. EY has also assisted the corporation in the implementation of many complex GASB statements, as well as advising staff in developing proper accounting treatment for some of HDC's complex financial transactions. EY's partner is available to answer questions that HDC staff have throughout the year. So based on their strong HFA background, the new approach to the MWBE firm fully engaged throughout all aspects of the audit, the advances in the use of technology, and the proposed fee, staff recommends awarding the next four-year contract to the auditing firm of Ernst & Young. Any questions?
So we need to approve the independent
auditor. Yeah, please. Staff recommends that members approve Ernst & Young as the independent auditor for the corporation for the next 4 years.
Okay.
Yes, I
approve. Yeah, they've done a good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And the good thing with Ernst & Young is every year there basically has been a new team in. So in this year, we have a new senior manager, a new senior audit senior. So it's been basically fresh eyes on the account every year. So
And for PAAA, they have to rotate partners every 5 years. Ernst & Young also has an internal policy that after 12 years, they basically move to a new partner, and the current partner doesn't have any involvement at all. So that's their philosophy as well. So it gives us comfort. Mm-hmm.
Is there any other business?
And I'm moving to no other business.
Okay.
He looked at me. I'm like, what am I supposed to do now? It's all good.
There be no other business. I would like to call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And then it was adjourned.